It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World. It's happy hour, and I'm so happy to have this person on because I used to watch him when he was on another network, and I always thought he and I could be brother and sister. Yes, yeah. Bill Hemmer, welcome to Kennedy Saves the World.
Thank you. What was that other network? Was that MTV or what was
it? I saw you on MTV. That's right. You were on CNN.
Yes.
And
yes,
we have the same mole on our face.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We match.
That's absolutely right. So
I got a bunch of them. They're like a constellation.
That's okay. Side. Here, this is for you.
Thank
this
you.
This is a drink. It is a twist on an old fashioned. So the cocktail connoisseur who's newsletter I devour every week, Peter Suderman. He's got a Substack newsletter called Cocktails of Suderman. He's got two big bull mastiffs. One of them passed away. So this was a cocktail that he crafted in honor of his dog, whom he nicknamed the Big Guy.
The big guy.
He said, this drink is the Big Handsome.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it with Japanese whiskey. I made it with American bourbon because you're an American Midwesterner. And cheers to you, Bill.
Wow, Hammer. Cheers. What an
interesting
honor.
Life you've had.
It's an orange peel in there. Mm-hmm. And what else? Let's see if we can. You know, I'm not a dark whiskey guy.
That's okay. You are. It's bourbon. You're from Ohio. You should like that.
Mm-hmm. That's hot on fire, kid.
Yeah, it's real good. It's good for it. It burns everything out. But
what time is it?
It's time to drink a mocktail. It's a mocktail. No actual alcohol was harmed.
It's not terrible. But my preference is light liquors.
I had no idea. No one told me.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Kettle One and tonic guy.
If I had known
Three limes.
Oh.
If you asked.
If I had known. Just wait. Just you wait. I will craft.
It's not terrible.
No, of course it's not. It's
kind of sweet.
Well, you know, I like to throw a little something in there. It is made with honey simple syrup. It's a 3-to-1 honey to water ratio.
Okay.
Which is nice. It's organic honey.
No, I was a bartender when I was 19.
Were you really?
So yeah.
I want to know about your early jobs because you told me the other day when we were on the outnumbered couch during a commercial break that you and I started at alternative radio stations.
Yes, you're right.
And that is what launched our broadcasting careers. I thought that was the coolest thing. I never knew that about you.
Between the ages of 16 and 21, I had 19 jobs, one of which was an underage bartender
at
a floating restaurant on the Ohio River called the Fore and Aft.
I don't think there are age limits,
First of all, back then,
there?
I didn't drink. Okay. That was the first thing.
Lovely.
Second of all, I'm making and slinging these drinks. They must have been the worst tasting things in the entire restaurant. I don't know how they consumed them, but they did. Very few got sent back, and I don't know how.
Well, that was
one of the 19.
That's how.
But the radio job was WOXY, mm-hmm. 97X, the future of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And for your listeners and viewers' pleasure, if you saw the movie Rain Man.
Which I did recently. It was on recently.
So you saw the convertible going down Central Parkway in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman's in the back seat because they're listening to the radio station. And he's saying, pow, the future of rock and roll, 97X, pow. That was their tagline. It was the first alternative rock and roll station in America.
That's amazing.
And I knew zero about the music.
Yes. But there's nothing like trial by fire in two ways. One, you are forced to learn the music very quickly because you realize very quickly that music listeners are like sports fans.
Fact.
They know more than any broadcaster on earth, and they will name check you. They will call you out on anything. Number two, you certainly have to learn how to think on your feet when you're doing live radio.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I had an advantage. I had the midnight to 6 a.m. shift.
Yep, that's where I started as well.
But nobody's listening, so I can make mistakes.
That's
it would
great.
Be all right.
I know, but there's something about that that's so wonderful because the people who are up, they're either working.
They're committed.
Tough jobs.
Yeah.
And they need someone there talking them through the night.
Uh-huh.
So it really means something to people working those shifts.
Yeah.
To have someone who's funny, someone who's got high energy, someone to carry them through. Like, you really develop a connection with your listeners.
But I didn't know
Or you've got someone who's like burying a body in the woods.
Yeah, I didn't know the Smiths from the Beatles back then.
Oh.
I
both British.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Ching, ching, ching.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that.
That's amazing. So what was your first? There we go. Won't leave you hanging.
Ever. So at 4 a.m. when everybody was asleep, mm-hmm. I broke away from the playlist and I would play Chrissy Hynde, The Pretenders, Middle of the Road.
Yeah, that's great.
And that, you know why? It woke me up.
Yes. That's
I had 2 hours to go.
So you had your go-to song.
Mm-hmm.
I would play anything. Like I usually played How Soon Is Now, like the 7 minute version by the Smiths. If I had to go get someone in the lobby because I was the only one in the building in Burbank.
Yeah,
so I needed something long enough. If God forbid my key card stopped working, I would still be able to get into the radio station
smart.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
But and I drank like a double big gulp of Dr. Pepper, and that got me through.
How'd you get to MTV?
My boss at the radio station got hired in LA at K-Rock, got hired at MTV.
They'd heard about New York,
and they heard about some of the promotions that he had done. They were getting a new slate of VJs in the fall. He was hired in May, and then he called me in July and was like, how would you like to audition to be a VJ? I'm like, I am 19 years old. Of course I would do that. I would punch my grandma for that opportunity. So I flew to Portland. I punched my grandma in the face. She was fine with it. She's Romanian. She could take a punch.
Right.
Yep. And then he got the president of MTV to sign off, and I was hired.
Mm, damn.
How did you get from...
It's really good.
...from overnight as a teenager doing alternative music that you didn't know to cable news?
I took a job in Cincinnati making $9,000 a year as a sports producer.
Nice.
And then I left that job a couple years later making $12,000 a year.
Solid.
And I turned 25 and I said, you know what? This isn't for me. And I really need to backpack around the world and get all this out of me.
Oh, good for you.
So I had $15,000 and I knew if I didn't do it before I turned 30, I was going to have a midlife crisis. So I had my midlife crisis at the age of 26 and
really
I backpacked
smart.
Around the world. And it was all third world travel. You know, this is in Paris and London and Amsterdam. This is China and Vietnam and Hong Kong, Nepal, wow. India, Middle East, Eastern Europe, and Russia. So I did that, and I came home, and I was a news reporter in Cincinnati, and which I found to be a rather tedious job. Hear me out.
Okay.
I was the low man on the totem pole. At 8 a.m., we had our meetings, and I always got the last assignment.
Yeah.
But what I found, Kennedy, is that we were covering either court cases or you start to understand how your community works.
Mm-hmm.
So how's the county work? How's the city work? How's the state work? I never knew any of that before. And I learned that over the next 2 years. How does the trial work, et cetera? Gas prices, school levies, you name it, right? And so I was able to put all that together between the travel and the news and the sports background
yep.
to get a job at CNN.
See, I also think that sports and radio are the best foundation for broadcasting.
Big time.
I really, truly believe that because you are forced to learn so much about sports and you have to develop an encyclopedic recall of that knowledge.
See, I have a different take on it. I think what the sports training does for a cable news anchor, which I have been for almost 30 years, is that it teaches your brain to see images and communicate out your mouth.
Yes.
Okay? And we do that every day. Car chases or breaking news or just to be able to go off prompter and just go from the top of your head.
And that's how I kind of developed my style as a broadcaster was emulating sportscasters, like guys I heard on sports talk and, you know, different sportscasters on TV.
Uh-huh.
I loved their energy. Like they had energy and passion and they were telling you something and bottom lining it. And I was like, I want to do that, but with music.
Yeah.
Like I want to do that, but with politics. And so I've always kind of emulated that. And, you know, it's like, It's interesting to me where people get their inspiration as broadcasters because you have to take it from somewhere.
Yeah. This thing's kind of strong, actually.
I know. It's like cough syrup.
You knew that?
Well, yeah. I mean, every cocktail
What are you doing
I make,
after this?
Probably napping.
Uh-huh.
Cheers. It's Friday, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we?
Somewhere it's Friday.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Don't go anywhere. More Kennedy Saves the World right after this.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
All right. So what else?
What is your favorite college in Ohio?
Wow. Miami University, Oxford, Ohio, hands down.
Okay.
Okay. And your daughter's at Ohio University,
that's right.
Athens, Ohio.
Yes.
Big rivalry.
I know. There
takes
is...
about 3 hours to get between the two.
So Chad Pergram went to Miami of Ohio.
Miami. Yeah.
Yes. And he was telling me that when he was in college, there was something on the front that was like, this is your brain. And it was, you know, Miami of Ohio. And then on the back, it was, this is your brain on drugs. And it was OU. And it made me laugh.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It actually might be appropriate.
OU
It actually might be true.
OU is a party school where you happen to get a fantastic education.
Yes, I agree with
that. I have never seen more academic support than what my daughter has at OU.
Wow, that's
impressive.
We
didn't have that at UCLA. Like, I had to hunt TAs and professors down in order to have time with them.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go to the math lab and you know, really fight hard to get hours from one of the tutors, but she, like, they go out of their way to really make sure kids are in a position to succeed.
What's interesting about this conversation is that I'm used to asking people questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not used to answering questions. So I would ask you a question. Your daughter's first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she happy?
I think she's happy. You know, it's like, it's a winding road. It's a river. But, and Geraldo taught me something very important.
What's that?
Because I asked Geraldo one day,
Good man, isn't he?
I've always had a great time with Geraldo.
I always love talking to him.
He is,
his hot takes were...
also lives in Ohio.
Yes.
But Cleveland. I said, how are you doing? He said, let me tell you something. Yeah. You're only as happy as your unhappiest child.
1,000%. And I've heard it before from my oldest sister.
Yes. So as parents, what we try and do is you can't do it for them when they're in college. And that's tough because it's much easier to swoop in and fix things. You have to let them do it, and you have to allow them to find their own happiness, which when you're sitting on your hands, and I saw Jennifer Garner was talking about this recently.
Yeah.
Like, her instinct is to be a mama bear and to fight and to help her kids, and she's always thought that was helping her kids, and then she realized that she has to sit back and allow them to find their way.
And I would argue somewhat profound.
Yeah.
And I would also argue maybe sometimes not easy.
Yes.
Right?
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, you found that out.
Yes. I remember when I left home, my mom knew that I was never coming back. She knew more than I did.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh,
you were
I'll
gone.
Be back. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, no, that's it. Peace.
When my dad dropped me off at Miami University when I was 17, 18 years old, it was just my little sister and my dad. I said, okay, time to say goodbye. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Kennedy, I ran from that car.
Wow.
I was jacked up. I was ready to go into the next step.
Yeah.
So.
But have you always been like that? You take on the next thing because it's the uncertainty that holds people back.
Yeah. I think that this is kind of silly, but it's true. Like grade school was kind of, you know, some teachers liked me, some teachers hated me. Okay, I get it. Fine. All right. Because I was always the best behaved.
Mm-hmm.
But the morning I woke up, the first day of school in high school, I was up, made my bed. I was out of there.
Yep.
I'm going to a school with 1,000 guys.
Wow.
Okay?
So
four different grades.
So it was an all-boys school.
All-boys school, 1,000 guys, and they compete on everything.
I'm okay with
that. And so long as that was the case, I was going to make sure that I was ready to compete with them.
Good.
And I tell my nephews that all the time. I said, try and embrace this.
Yes. And we have, like, we're shying away from competition. Like, we're softening the edges on everything so no one gets their feelings hurt. And I think we might pay for that down the road.
Okay. Well, for me, it was get up, get it done, and arguably, I don't think I've ever looked back.
Arguably, that is a fantastic
way to live.
Cheers
to that kid. To the big guy.
To the big guy and the big handsome, which we are consuming this mocktail.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. This is actually root beer.
Yeah, it is.
It's root beer.
It's very, very good root beer.
Bargs. You ever have Bargs root beer?
Yeah.
B-A-R-G.
Heck yeah. Did you have Big Red in Ohio?
We did.
We had that in Southern
Big
Indiana.
Big Red cream soda.
And it's not everywhere, but like when we would go visit my grandmother in Indiana.
Some strong root beer.
I looked forward to Big Red. That's all I wanted.
But you grew up in Seymour, right?
Yes. So that's where my family's from.
Uh-huh.
And then my parents moved to Oregon, but we would go back every summer and stay with my grandma.
Got it.
And that's all I wanted was to water ski. And like if I could drink a 2 liter of Big Red while water skiing, that would have been heaven for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
So Seymour had a pretty good view of the eclipse.
I know. Emily was in Indianapolis.
You had totality.
Yes.
There.
And over the there, people's lives were changed.
Right.
Where did you experience the eclipse?
Right out there in Fox Square. We saw nothing. Yeah. I was out there with Martha. Yeah. It got a little dark.
Yeah, it was.
It got a little cool.
They're like 90%. That was not 90%.
No,
I know from 90%. I'm good at estimating, pretty good with ratios. That was not 90%.
So Martha and I are sitting there and go, you know, we'd have a much better chance of seeing this eclipse if we'd have a 44-story building in front of us. So what we should have done is gone down to the Intrepid on the Hudson River.
That's where...
Would have been a pretty good shot. Nate was out there.
Yeah.
I don't even think his was that great. Anyway, my point is Seymour, yeah. Bloomington, Indianapolis,
yes.
Your home...
A lot of people, so I went to mom's weekend, flew into Columbus. A lot of people were there for the eclipse.
Uh-huh.
So there must have been something in that zone.
Yeah.
There was totality adjacent.
Did it change your life?
Nope. I was ready for it.
Yeah. Didn't it change my life at all?
No, I was really ready for it. I was open. I had Fox News on and I was going out to the terrace with the big dumb dog who was looking at the sky. And I was like, don't look at the sky. I tried to put glasses on him. He wouldn't keep the glasses on. They're French bulldogs. Are not smart.
Right. Did you get a picture?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you did, and you posted it, didn't you?
No, I didn't post it.
Oh!
No, because he doesn't like me to post him too much.
I respect that.
He's shy.
Oh.
You can see the eclipse in his eyes.
Cat. Yeah. Yes.
It's not good.
How's he doing?
He keeps bumping into walls. I think he's...
Okay. Liar.
He's fine. All right, so what's next for you?
I'm going to go have a conversation with the guy who's running for the U.S. Senate.
Oh, that's exciting.
2 o'clock.
Yep.
We'll see what he has to say. I've got to go to this little deal across the street at 6 o'clock
okay,
tonight.
Okay, so it's
what's
all...
next for me? You know what I just did, Kennedy?
What? I know you love to snowboard.
I do, but I didn't get there this year.
I mean, neither did
There's
I.
Too much going on.
Yep.
I just went to the Arctic with the U.S. Navy.
That was incredible.
We haven't seen it yet. You only saw like 5 minutes of it.
But what I saw, I loved.
Oh, you like it?
Yes.
It was an amazing personal and professional experience. Yeah. We were there 72 hours. It was unlike anything I'd ever done before in my life. We flew into Dead Horse, Alaska, where when you look out the plane, you're just like, sir, can you please turn around? Because nothing lives down there.
Yeah.
Change into our gear and flew about 220 miles north onto a moving ice floe.
Ooh.
And we met up with like 62 U.S. Navy sailors and scientists who were studying a lot up there. And then I was cold, 50 below.
Oof.
I mean, come on.
I've only been in that
Brutal.
One time.
My right big toe is almost back,
Oof.
Almost all there. It's going to come back fully. Next day, we took a helicopter and went further north. And we met with a U.S. nuclear submarine, the USS Hampton out
That's
of San
cool.
Diego. So we climbed on board there, spent about 24 hours with those men, all men, 150, not an integrated sub. There are integrated subs. This was not one of them. Just to learn how they live and to understand that there is a commodity of space that you will adjust to because you have to.
You have no choice.
And once you do, like your life goes from here to here to here to the width of this microphone.
Yeah, you're basically sleeping in a coffin.
Yeah, and you're 18 inches high. I slept for 5 hours. Very proud of myself.
Nice.
The showers are exceedingly warm because we are nuclear powered.
Wow.
As long as they have food, they can stay at sea forever because they're always generating power. It was an extraordinary experience that I loved going and seeing, and I don't know if I ever have to do it again.
And were they well adjusted? Are there psychological
those guys,
services?
That's really interesting to me. Is that what you guys in the submarine?
Yes.
The ice camp was just forbidden, you know. And the Arctic, it's ice. It's a sheet of ice. So when the wind blows, there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-mm.
Like you can go in the tent, but honestly, the tent is just kind of.
It's a suggestion.
It's sweet. I mean, a week. We slept in all of our clothes, including our boots, wrapped up inside of 2 sleeping bags, pulled over our head, and you woke up every hour freezing. On the sub, you get to know these guys in a way where most of their family lineage is about the Navy. Yeah, my grandfather was on it. My father was on it. It goes back generations. The other side that I found was my life was a mess. I needed to get organized, and the Navy did it for me, and now I have this family. And they're at sea for 3 months. At a time.
Wow.
They have no communication with the outside world once they're underway.
Really?
They've got no use for iPhones. They read books, they sleep, they work, and they talk.
Oh my gosh.
It was a whole different world, and I am absolutely thrilled that I was able to have that experience.
Yeah, I would be in awe of those people.
Here's to the U.S. Navy.
I can't wait to see more of it.
Diggity to the USS Hampton.
And to the Army.
And the root beer.
Mm-hmm. And to root beer may it floweth always. Thank you, Bill Hemmer. This has
pleasure.
Been...
Pleasure.
This has been Kennedy Saves the World.
I'm going to give the rest of this to your producer.
I'm Kennedy.
Shout out.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.